Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go.
This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hutt, Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to another episode where we're going to delve into the mailbag and read out some of your correspondence.
I'm looking forward to this, mate, because we haven't done a full... mailbag in a while, which means it's very full to bursting, and there's some great stuff in there from all the lads and lasses.
We did one the other day, Sam.
Did we? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was like a specific one the other day.
No, I think the one the other day we didn't actually get that many read out. We got sidetracked a bit.
You know, I don't remember fucking, neither of us remember anything that we've podded. We just pod
so much. This is what the listeners need to remember. If you send in a tweet or anything with any reference to anything that's in the free-to-air episodes that used to be IFS, you've got to remember, first of all, they were 9 months ago. We've got no idea what we said 9 months ago. It's nice that you're getting in touch, but if you're making a reference to something, fucking no idea what it is. Secondly, if you mention something that we've recorded a few days ago, again, no fucking idea. It goes in one ear and out the other. We don't retain anything.
I mean, I don't want you all to think of this. If you're IFS and you're paying good money, I don't want you to think that this is just disposable bollocks that falls out of our arseholes and then we forget about straight away. But you have to understand, in a way it is. It's not done with any... I mean, there's real love that goes into it. Don't get us wrong. Yeah. But we just do a fucking lot of it.
Yeah.
So much.
We do so much that it's really hard to retain it all. But, it's a mailbag episode, and here's a one that goes back to one of the first and greatest topics that we had on the mailbag, and that was the Stray Man. Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with the Stray Man, it is when you find yourself unable to return to your home or dwelling, usually late at night.
Dwelling.
And you... have nowhere to rest your head, and you have become a stray man. And it's all about what happens afterwards.
I remember when I was in Brighton for New Year a couple of years ago with some friends, and the dad, original stray man, Rory, who you've met, he was saying something or other about he didn't want a new cat.
That's right.
Right. And his daughter said to him something like...
Did he not say that he didn't want to? He didn't want to get a new one, or he would just want to get a stray one or something and adopt it or something like that.
Yeah, and she said, "Well, in that case, you can leave the house and you can be a stray man.
You can be a stray man." Yeah,
and that was his daughter,
she'd rather
Cara,
have a cat than...
and it was a phrase that tickled me so much—the idea of him being a stray man. Which, if you know Rory, you know you can really envisage it. He's the sort of man who I think could quite happily be stray.
Yeah.
Some men are just built for it, aren't they?
Well, I mean, in some of the Laurel and Hardy films, they're like basically tramps, aren't they?
They are, aren't they? People
forget
that.
They start off, they get into adventures, but they start off as stray men. Laurel and Hardy are the original stray men. If you've got Talking Pictures TV, which, as we said before, is a great, great TV channel, which the Yesterday's Hero film was originally on, they're showing lots of Laurel and Hardy stuff on weekends at the moment, Saturdays and Sundays. It's Laurel and Hardy, so
there's few things funnier. I mean, I've got the box set with all of their films in, of course.
I do too.
But but I can't be fucked putting in DVDs a lot of the time. We play them through the PlayStation now.
Especially in a box set, you got to get them out of the box and everything.
You got to get the fucking box down, you got to get them out, stick it in the fucking PlayStation. I mean, I'm such a lazy cunt. I think I've said this before, but there have been times where there's a film. I'm sat on the sofa and I decide, right, we're going to watch this film, kids, or they say, let's watch it. and I'll go, right, see if it's on Sky or Amazon or whatever. And then I'll know that it's over on the shelf somewhere in our DVD collection. Yeah. But if it's like $1.99, I'm that much of a lazy cunt. By the time I've got off my arse, found it, got it out of the box, stuck it in the PlayStation, fucked around the TV to be on the PlayStation channel. Do you know what I mean? Trying to press play using your PlayStation controller. I'm like, it's $1.99. Download it. And the kids haven't got a problem. They might not even know how lazy I'm being. But if my good wife is, what are you doing? You're downloading Raiders of the Lost Ark. Download it. I said, it's 99p for a rental. You get it for 3 days. She went, 3 fucking days? We got it on DVD. It's like 5 foot away, you cunt. Yeah, fuck it. It's only 99p. What are you going to spend that 99p on, eh?
Oh, duh. You know what? I had a similar thing.
Shameful.
I had a similar thing yesterday, but even worse. We're going away on holiday this weekend, and I've got an Amazon Fire Stick that I want to take with us. So you just plug it in the telly up there and get, you know, stuff. Amazon, Netflix, Disney and all that. And I've boxed lots of my stuff up because I thought we were moving house last week or last month, and it didn't happen. So we're going to move again in about 6 weeks, hopefully. And the Amazon Fire Stick is boxed up somewhere, and I don't know which box it was in. And then yesterday, I nearly did. Yesterday I saw on Hot UK Deals, which is a great site for deals that are hot in the UK. Yeah. I saw Amazon Fire Stick down to $24.99. And for a moment I thought, let's fucking get a new one.
Yeah.
Rather than go through those boxes. No, it's in a box somewhere. I'll just open the boxes and find it. I've got a fair idea which one of the boxes it's in. I've narrowed it down to about 4 boxes. I'm not paying £25 for another Fire Stick when it's in there somewhere.
I lost my earlier this year, I lost my favourite baseball cap. As a bald man, I'm quite into wearing baseball caps. I've only got into it over the last couple of years, but now I'm really into it and I buy a lot. And I've got a favourite one that I think looks the nicest on my head, right? And I fucking
makes
lost
you look
it
the prettiest.
I started to fucking panic because I'd lost it. I was like, fucking hell. It's been days now. I can't find it. So I fucking bought another one, didn't I? I mean, it's £20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bought another one and thought, because I'm quite like, maybe it's the addict in me, but I'm quite secretive about things like that from my wife.
Yeah.
Like small purchases that are clearly slightly indulgent. Right?
Maybe you're just frightened of her.
Yeah, bit of that. But she'll silently judge. That's the worst. She won't go, what the fuck are you doing that for? Why did you spend money? We can't afford it. She'll just go, she'll go like, new T-shirt.
Uh-oh.
She'll go, and then walk off, right? And it'll never be mentioned again, but it'll live with me in the pit of my soul. And so I did the old, she goes, new baseball cap? I went, nah, this is me. Brooklyn Nets one. I've had this for ages.
It's your favourite. Oh,
that's weird. She goes, because I just found this one in Coco's room. And it had been in my daughter's room under a fucking, you know, I don't know what your daughter's room's like, but mine's a fucking pit half the time. You know, it's just all the clothes thrown everywhere. And I must have dropped my hat in her room. It had been covered for like about a month in a pile of her dirty laundry.
Shit.
And I was totally exposed because I thought, my wife will never know I've bought a new hat because it's identical to the old hat. So how will she know? She fucking knew because she found the old hat. She's like, oh, that's funny. What is it? Fucking procreating or something?
It's like Fantasia with the brooms. It's a proper fucking Columbo moment, that, isn't it? Oh, one more thing. Yeah. What's this here?
Oh, that's funny, isn't it? Didn't realise you had two of these, unless you bought one simply because you'd slightly mislaid the other one. You cunt.
Oh,
headphones
man.
Are the worst. I lose headphones non-fucking stop. And because headphones play such a big role in my life, I really get quite severe anxiety if I lose headphones. And very often my response to losing them is to just immediately buy another pair because then it goes out of my head straight away.
Right, yeah.
So it's a lot. If I ever go broke...
How'd you lose headphones? How'd you lose them?
So easy to lose, mate. Not big ones, like, you know, if I've got any older...
the little ones, yeah.
The little ones...
Little Bluetooth pods, ones.
Or running ones, Bluetooth ones, they're fucking easy. If you're a bit dizzy-headed like me, right, It's fucking so easy to lose them. And then you go, well, maybe I should only buy cheap ones so I lose them so regularly. But then you get cheap ones, you think, the sound's not quite as good in my ears.
Yeah.
When I'm listening to my favourite pop hits.
I forgot to take mine once on a trip to London, and I realised as I got into Sunderland to get better get on the train. So I went to Poundland and I bought some from Poundland.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Jesus Christ. Fucking worst things I've ever encountered.
Did it hurt your ears?
It was painful to me psyche and to me soul. It was just so tinny and quiet. It was.
Excuse me. This is in Poundland. This would be me. Excuse me. I'm going on a long train journey, and my plan is to listen all the way through to In Rainbows, the Radiohead album from the noughties. It's very complex, so do you have any headphones? I don't know if you're familiar with that particular
work.
It's one of their most
sonically sophisticated works, which I'm sure you already know that.
Do you have any headphones that would be particularly good for listening to that record?
Apologies if I'm patronising you by saying that.
What, mate? Headphones? Yeah, aisle three.
Yes, I'm aware they're aisle three. I want some expert advice.
Got white ones and black ones. Take your pick. They're all a pound.
Have you got any over-ear ones?
We got some Disney ones. We got ones with pictures of, like, Pocahontas and that on. They're quite good.
No, I don't want Pocahontas ones to listen to In Rainbows. That would be insulting to Thom York.
Thom York.
Who I'm sure despises Disney. Thom York is the sort of man who wouldn't let his children watch any Disney.
He is, isn't he? I just don't want my kids engaging with that kind of stuff. I just really don't want my kids engaging with that. With that American bullshit.
Cultural imperialism, isn't it?
Shut up, Thom York. Fucking Sleeping Beauty's well good.
I used to be into all that fucking, oh, Disney's just cultural imperialism. And then I went to Disney World. It was the best holiday I ever had.
Disney's fucking awesome, mate.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, I went to see Black Widow at the weekend. Because Disney do that too, don't they? All the Marvel stuff. But unfortunately, I fell asleep. About 20 minutes in, I fell asleep. And I literally woke up as the final scene concluded. No surprise there. Oh, well. But I was actually... I don't mind sometimes if I sleep through a children's film if I think it's shit. But actually, I was getting really into it. It's. Right. I think it's really good. I mean, I've got no way of knowing
other
than what my kids and my wife said. They said it was really good. But on the other hand, it's like now I can look forward to it because as soon as it comes out on TV, like, my son will want to watch it straight away again. And sometimes you're like, fucking hell, I can't sit for it again. But now I can look forward to it.
I mean, you could buy the Blu-ray maybe and put it to one side and then just order it off your telly when it comes on the telly.
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
If any of you listen to this and are disgusted by our fucking largesse, our fucking appalling attitude towards money and stuff. I mean, where do you keep your earphones? Are they Bluetooth ones that are connected with a cable that you put around the back of your head?
Well, what I've got at the moment is Apple AirPods. Which I invested in earlier this year.
Don't fucking lose them, they're fucking expensive.
I know, and they're the easiest to lose, that's the problem.
Jesus Christ.
So I put off buying them for a long time because I thought I'll get these and they're perfect for my lifestyle, right? But I thought I will definitely fucking lose them. I haven't lost them yet, but I will. I mean, it's just, it's as certain as anything. It's as certain as the fact that I will one day die. The only other certainty in my life, apart from the inevitability of death, my own mortality, is the certainty that I will lose these £130 AirPods.
Yeah. Where do you keep your keys when you're not using them?
Well, I mean, listen, this with me is a minefield. You know enough about me. You've worked with me for long enough, if we can call this work, to know that I am not a very organised person. You're the logistics guy in this relationship. I am all over the fucking place. I do, in theory, have a set place for my keys, right? I'm not going to reveal where that is on air. I will tell you off air.
Right. It's up my ass.
Right.
I feed them up there one key at a time.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's just the essentials, your wallet, your phone, your keys, your headphones. These are all the essentials that need to remain in the same place. But I'm just a nightmare. I don't keep them all in the same place.
If you could get one of those little wooden things that you nail to the kitchen wall with little hooks on for your keys. You could keep your keys on there.
I've got something like that. But my problem is, is that what you should do is as soon as you come in, you put the keys there. Mm. And I would say I've got better over the years. Now, 8 times out of 10, I will. But there'll always be 2 times out of 10 where I've just inexplicably put them back in my pocket or put them in a bag that I hardly ever use.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And then I'll be running around the house the next time, I can't find my fucking keys! And I lose my temper about it.
Yeah.
And Anna will very calmly just go, find the keys, hand them to me, and ask me to leave the house until I've calmed down.
She's a good wife.
She's basically what my brother often compares her to, Hong Kong Fui's cat assistant. He's always referred to her as that, as Hong Kong Fui's cat, like, who just calmly takes care of all the shit while I'm making a big fuss about it.
Yeah, that was a good comparison. Yeah, I was going to say, if you've got those earphones with the cable that stretches around the back of the neck, you could just hang them on one of them little hooks. But you don't. You've gone for the AirPods. You've gone for the AirPods because, as you just recently said there, they suit your lifestyle.
My lifestyle.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't want to know what that means, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what that means. But where did this begin? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look at me, claiming to have a lifestyle.
Yeah,
like, well, I'm fucking Jack the Biscuit.
Sitting in his bedroom doing a WhatsApp phone call. Sitting in his bedroom doing a WhatsApp phone call to a bloke in Sunderland.
This is my lifestyle. That still counts as a lifestyle. Mm. Sitting here barefooted in a pair of shorts and the T-shirt I slept in, talking to a man in Sunderland. That is my lifestyle. Take it or leave it, lads. They might not be writing about it in GQ, but I insist it is still a legitimate lifestyle choice.
It's regular work, isn't it? Got to take what you can get.
Yeah, they're not going to write a fucking 3,000-word essay on the lifestyle of me in fucking, you know, Condé Nast Traveller magazine. Fair enough, I don't want them to.
It's an existence at worst.
The existence is probably a better example of a better word, yeah.
Stray Man. That's where we got into this. We've just spent 15 minutes explaining what Stray Man is.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So this Stray Man email, I like this one. This is so good. This is just perfect peak Stray Man. This is from Owen McDonald. And he says, well, lads, he says, the Stray Man at the heart of this story is a friend of a friend, but it's too good not to share. That's fine. We're okay with that. He says, a few years ago, two of them were out in Dublin. One left the club early, went back to his flat, fell asleep and accidentally locked the other one out. Now, this is a Stray Man origin story as old as time itself.
Yeah,
lots of
old
Stray Man stories begin like this, yeah. He says, it was late, it was snowing, and he was now a Stray Man. A middle-aged guy approached him and asked if he wanted to go for a tea or coffee. And he accepted the offer. Again, lots of Stray Man stories have this element to them, the introduction of a stranger who takes them on an odyssey. He says, they went back to his basement flat. This is probably what you shouldn't have done. But when you're a Stray Man, you can become desperate. You need shelter. You need somewhere to rest your head, or almost just rest yourself for a while, even if you stay awake. They went back to his basement flat, which had walls covered floor to ceiling in framed photos of dogs. Do you want to come for a tea or coffee? Oh, it's the fucking Alan Partridge episode again with Jed, isn't it? The super fan. He says, they then watched a DVD that went through all the dogs the guy had owned. Apparently, he and his dogs were some sort of local celebrities. After the dog chat, the man proceeded to show him his collection of samurai swords.
Oh, that is a massive fucking red flag, isn't it?
Yeah, and he says, picture attached for proof. And I'm looking at the picture that came with it. Now, there's a picture of, it's a four-part picture, and you've got, it's the same fella, but his face has been blacked out. There's two with dogs and two with swords. And I don't know if this is the fella who owned the flat or the fella who visited the flat, because he doesn't explain. But either way, it's good. Picture attached for proof. After several hours of tea, dogs and madness, it was morning and the guy dropped him back to his mate's flat. So, you know, everyone thought there, oh, this is going to be a menace story. You know, something bad's going to happen. But yeah, the fellow with the dogs and the swords, his intentions were true. He just wanted a bit of company. He could have, you know, slaughtered this bloke with the sword and then wore his skin.
And then didn't. Fed him to his dogs.
Yeah, he didn't. He just gave him some tea and watched some DVDs about the dogs. He just wanted a bit of company. So there we are. To me, that is just an archetypal stray man story.
It's a great, yeah, it's got a lot of the sort of the classic touch points of the stray man story, which is a really, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. Oh, God, like, what?
There's one about, Sam, there's one from someone from Barnes where you live. Now, I can read this one out and you can react if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, read it out. Yeah, do that.
And it's a follow-up to your story about helping Garth Crooks up when he fell off his bike.
Yeah.
That time.
The greatest story ever told.
This is a story from David, and he says, "Hi lads, your Garth Crooks anecdote reminded me of what a legend he is." It didn't remind him of what a legend you are, Sam, curiously.
I know, I thought I was the hero of that story.
Yeah,
but
I thought so as well in that one. He says, "I used to work in his local pub about 10 years ago, the Sun Inn, Barnes. Are you familiar with it?"
Extremely familiar with it, yeah. It's also my local pub.
Garth was a regular with Ray Stubbs, also a top bloke. Are you familiar with Ray Stubbs in the local?
I know Stubbsy. I've had a pint with Stubbsy in the Sun Inn. Not Crooksy, but Stubbsy I know well enough to have a drink with, yeah.
Ray Stubbs, human of honour, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
One afternoon, he turned up with an under-12s football team who was helping coach, wanting to get them lunch. Our kitchen was closed, but I said we could do something simple for them, like fish finger sandwiches. Crooksy was more than happy and then started helping me set up the tables and then run the food out from the kitchen. It was surreal. Garth Crooks, a man I had seen playing live for Manchester United, was carrying plates of food with me and collecting empties. He says, I loved serving him. Always a friendly, polite bloke who'd often be up for football talk.
There you go, mate. There's 2 pints of bitter and a packet of crisps. Just quickly, are you up for some football talk? Yeah, sure. When? Now. Okay, fine. Do you want to start?
Let's talk football. Kick off.
Go.
He said he'd often be up for football talk, unlike Mark Lawrenson. That's all weird. He says.
Oh, well, I've never seen Mark Lawrenson. I've heard no rumours that Mark Lawrenson's ever been in that pub. I've never seen him around Barnes. But
well, so maybe he was just
meeting
up with Ray Stubbs.
He's left that hanging, like, cryptically, hasn't he?
Maybe he was just hanging out with Ray Stubbs. Yeah. Other notable regulars, again, you can tell me these names and if you know any of them. Lee Dixon, a really sound bloke.
I've seen Lee Dixon in there and just around the hood numerous times.
Lee Dixon comes across as a sound bloke, I think.
He does,
go along with that. Bob Willis, of course, recently passed away.
Too much personal info on other people, I actually know for a fact that Lee Dixon is a really, really good bloke. Because he has helped people who I know through my own personal struggles. He has personally helped people in the most incredible ways, quietly. And I think he is a genuine top bloke. And occasionally you see people, like maybe Spurs fans, which I get, you know, club rivalries and whatever, or people like slagging him off when he's doing co-coms or something.
Right,
It needles me because although I don't know him personally, I know that he has been an incredible support to people who are less fortunate than him. So just want to put that out there. Everyone, Lee Dixon's a fucking great
man. It's official. I mean, I like Lee Dixon's commentary. I think he's really good.
And he's
got
smart.
That kind of common touch, if you like. The late Bob Willis, totally laid back. Don't know if you ever encountered Bob Willis.
Never seen Bob Willis around.
Simon and Yasmin Le Bon. Ever seen them around?
I've seen Simon Le Bon a couple of times, once at the Sun Inn. If you go to the Sun Inn, I mean, I don't want to create a stampede to the Sun Inn, but if you go to the Sun Inn on Christmas Eve, there are all the local sort of celebs will be there. It's like everyone fucking goes there on Christmas Eve. And I once saw a table with a number of these characters that have been talked about here all around the same table on Christmas Eve, right? And I stumbled into an alcove where they were sitting because I was looking for someone, none of whom were there. So I was looking for a non-famous person, right? And I stumbled in pissed off my tits because it was Christmas Eve and I was an alcoholic. And I stumbled around a corner and sort of wobbled and regarded them all. Like, oh, cunts. A bit like that. Okay. And then they just all looked a bit disturbed.
VIP cunts.
Yeah, I was a bit like Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places when he turns up at the Christmas party dressed as Santa with a salmon stuffed down his front. But I've seen Simon Le Bon there at Christmas. And Yasmin Le Bon, I was in a restaurant in Barnes once with my wife, and Yasmin was in there with some of the Le Bon kids having dinner on the table next to us. And I can't tell, I mean, in some ways it ruined the dinner for my wife and I, who were out trying to have a nice romantic time, but we were just so distracted and excited by the presence of the Le Bons speculating as to whether Simon was going to turn up and join them, which he didn't, disappointedly. They almost ruined the night because it was too exciting.
But that's not their fault.
That's my Le Bon story.
Well, it says Simon and Yasmin Le Bon, he loved London Pride and a chat on a Sunday morning.
Oh, well, that's it. That's the local beer is London Pride. You're true local if you have a London Pride, yeah.
I mean, I like that. I like that he's in on a Sunday morning having a chat. He's proper middle-aged fucking man at ease with himself. He's going out for a pint on a Sunday lunchtime. Pint London Pride and a chat with the barman. Yeah.
Morning, cunts. Usual.
It'd be tankard. Yeah.
Right, let's see what those fucking cunt politicians have been up to this week. And as he ruffles his Sunday Telegraph, same old fucking shit. Let me tell you something, right? People talk about fucking Boris Johnson. I have seen them all fucking come and go. Right, I can go back to fucking Harold Wilson. Right, and let
I've
me
met
tell
most
you,
of them.
All of them are the fucking same. When they need something, they're all fucking smiles and handshakes, yeah? But let me tell you, when you're off that number one spot, they wouldn't piss on you if you're on fire. Callaghan, Major, all them pumps.
I met Callaghan. It was in the early days of Duran Duran. Obviously, he wasn't Prime Minister anymore. He was on the way down. We were on the way up. There was a bit of needle. There was a bit of tension in the air, but, you know.
We met him backstage at Top of the Pops. He was trying to get a pop career going. Ask for some advice. I was off my face at the time. I was no use to anyone.
He got the same producer who made that single with Reginald Bosanquet. He saw how well that had done and he wanted a piece of the action. But he was only number 39 in the chart. He went out the next week, didn't even go
I said to him, mate, you've got to get a better look. You're in a fucking shit suit and you're bald. Get a hat, for fuck's sake. This was years before I told Jamiroquai to do the same thing. Luckily, he listened. Callaghan didn't.
The rest writes itself.
Next question. What do you mean next question? I'm just a barman.
You want to top up with that, mate? Yeah, go on. Yeah, I've got another half an hour. She's got the dinner on, but it's always late.
Hang on, let's see if she's fucking texted. No, she hasn't, we're all right.
Yeah, go on. Stick half in it. No, I'll make you a pint.
She's told me to pop into Londis and get some fucking corn flour. What? Fuck it now. I'll pretend I didn't see the text.
I haven't opened this, so she can't say I've read it. I've just seen it in the preview bit on the front.
I'll go back. Frankly, I don't even know what... corn flour sounds like a specialist food to me. They're not going to have it in London either way.
Simon Yasmin Le Bon. And then Gary Lineker. He just says legend, wow. Obviously. Barnes legend.
That
Barnes
my relationship, if you can call it that, with Gary Lineker has been well documented on this podcast.
It has. Yeah.
See him around loads. I've always tried to get something going with him because I did once know him, my time at Match of the Day. I think that we've got so much in common in our worldview. Do you know what I mean? Right. I just think we could, it's just, to me, it's just a natural friendship waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, he doesn't... He's got a load of different calls upon his time, hasn't he? So he's not thinking, oh, I'll make the effort to make friends with this geezer I see hanging around Barnes who stares at me sometimes.
He's not looking for work, put it that way.
He's not. He doesn't need me, but I feel like I need him. And I've heard that he might be moving out of the area, and I hate to think that I could be one of the reasons for that, but I could be.
Who knows? Got time for another quick one before we end this. This has just come in while we're recording this. It's a bullshit tale.
Oh,
and
good.
We love bullshitters. And it's from... he hasn't put his name. Oh, yeah, IFS Adam. There we are. And he says, hi, lads, this may be worthy. Well, we'll decide. He says, when kids, two of our group turned up to a meeting very excited. They claimed they'd just been walking through the cut when they encountered a dog unaccompanied with a lit fag in its mouth having a smoke.
Oh, I wish that was true.
Smoking dog.
Got a lie.
I'm imagining it wearing a trilby as well, Sam.
If you want a fag, you can light it off the end of this. Light it off the end of mine. It's no problem. Excuse my breath. It stinks on account of me being a dog. That's the reason I started smoking.
I just had some meat earlier. Oh, the lit fag in its mouth having a smoke. They said it did nothing, just stared at them.
Like the rest dogs in Spain that followed my mates down the hill.
Yeah, the feral dogs. I bet they were smokers and drinkers. Adam says, the rest of us obviously called it as bullshit. In the following years, the subject often came up, but the two bullshitters remained emphatic on what they had seen. Members of the group often tried to bribe a confession out of them with free beer or tablets. I imagine they'd be drug tablets. On one occasion, their pints were secretly drug powdered in an attempt to get a confession out of them.
They put some truth powder in their beer.
They spiked them with truth serum. It never worked. He says, lost touch with them now, but suspect they still claim this bullshit tale. Or is it? Now, I'm going to say to you, Sam, are you calling that as bullshit or are you calling that as a true
incident? It sounds far-fetched, but I think there's a chance it could be true.
There's enough of a chance for me to believe it. It's that thing as well with me. If I want to believe a story, like if it's a rumour about a celebrity or something, if I want to believe it, therefore it becomes truth.
Yeah, always. That's my attitude to everything. And a lot of people go, Sam's full of shit, right? I hear people saying this when I walk down the street. Right,
I'm full of
shit, full of shit. But that's because I choose to regard the world as a fun, brightly coloured and extraordinary place, right? And if that means that I'm more gullible about stories or more willing to accept them, then fucking sue me.
So be
but
it.
But if someone tells me they've seen a smoking dog, I'm going to choose to believe that's true. I mean, certainly we know that rabbits can be made to smoke and then become addicted because that's what they do in the labs to test out the fags, don't
it's
they?
It's their job, isn't it, in the labs, yeah.
John Player Special got a big laboratory in the Welsh countryside where they train rabbits to smoke. Yeah,
just to make sure that the fags still work. I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Why are you making those rabbits smoke? To check that the fags are safe for humans. They're not safe. They kill you. Well, can't be too careful.
We've got a new recipe and we've got to test it out on the rabbits to make sure they work.
We figured Coca-Cola got a long way with Diet Coke, right? So we're thinking, could we do a new recipe that was cancer-free fags? I wouldn't say we were hopeful, but you got to give these things a try. And the rabbits are very much our guinea pigs.
Ironically, we tried it with guinea pigs, but they don't like it. They spit them out.
They love a drink, guinea pigs. They're big drinkers. They're like the Irish in that sense. Yeah. They're sort of born with a taste for it.
They also like to gamble. That's
the thing with guinea pigs. They're unreliable to work with. A lot of fun, but not the most professional.
We test bets out on them because they love to gamble. All right, that's it from this episode of the Mailbag Delve. We'll do another one soon because there's some really good stuff there. Keep them coming. You know all the topics. We've told you before. Keep them coming and we'll read them out. Thanks very much. Don't smoke. or drink.
Take care of your bunny rabbits.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.